The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word today. It is a good word. It is a true word. It's a word that can change lives, penetrate to separate bone from marrow. It's a two-edged sword. Sweeter than honey. It is your truth. And may you remove your servant, get me out of the way, that your word will be taught the way it should be. And the Holy Spirit may take it to those who are willing to hear. Those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you will comfort us. And those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. For your word can do both. And Father, we thank you that we will never be the same, because we will open your word. In Jesus' name, we all say,
praise God.
Those of you that are visiting with us, you got those bright green bags. Those of you that are not visiting with us, make sure those that have those bright green bags feel welcome before they get out of here.
Yes, sir.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And it's going to be hard for you to miss them. That's why we make them so bright. So as you're seeing those little green bags going out the door, grab them, invite them over. No, make them invite you over to their house. That'll work. All right, are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13, and whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. What does forever mean?
Forever.
Okay. How about in Greek?
Forever.
Okay. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you in a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Pretty powerful verses.
Yes, sir.
That is not lived every day by us. But the ones that is really amazing is you ask anything in my name, I do it. So that's a misunderstanding somewhere in our prayer lives. How many of you have a bad case of preconceived ideas? Have you ever come to a conclusion about something that was absolutely false? There's some people laughing. There's others that are getting sad. Others are giving no expression because they don't want you to know where they've been in this situation. But we all have our preconceived ideas about what truth is. How about if I would say something like this? You won't believe this. On the way to church this morning, I got a ticket. Now, how many of you would assume that I meant that I dropped some clothes off and got a laundry ticket? Anybody in here, that was the first thing that popped in your mind?
No.
Pastor got a laundry ticket. Or did you think, oh, speeding ticket?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you really like that one, huh? And not only would you jump to the conclusion that I got a speeding ticket, but then you would have went down to judging. Oh, pastor was speeding. He was trying to get to church real quick to talk about the word of God and be obedient. He was speeding. I'm listening.
Amen.
You didn't go to the laundry ticket.
No, sir, did not.
You didn't go to the ticket to get on the ferry. You went straight to speeding ticket because of the preconceived idea about what you would get. How about this one? You ever had a preconceived idea? You're listening to someone on the radio, and because of their voice, you have pictured what they look like.
Oh yeah. Yes.
How many times have you been right? That you matched their voice with their face in your mind. I'm listening. Not very good, huh? So if you can have preconceived ideas about a ticket, a preconceived idea about how someone looks on the radio, can you have a preconceived idea about what the Word of God says and you are absolutely wrong?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's see. Verily, verily, verse 12, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, since I'm going to my Father, you have the opportunity to do the works that I have done and greater works than what I have done. Now, is that a truth? Or is that kind of an allegory? Is that kind of a little example of what could happen? Or does he really mean you can do the works that he did and you can do greater works?
He means it.
And he means it.
Yes, sir.
Now, how do you do those works? And how do you do those greater works? Anyone in here know? What? Through your prayer life. The greater works that we're going to accomplish must be accomplished, and the greater works that we will accomplish and can accomplish and should accomplish will come through our prayers. So it is kind of important to understand, isn't it? What it means for us to be able to pray correctly. And it's very important for us to come to the conclusion that maybe we have a misunderstanding about this prayer thing because it doesn't really line up with our life, our prayers, our asking. So that's maybe Jesus is telling us some things here that you and I need to really understand. Are you ready? Are you ready for your prayer life to change? Are you ready for it to be revolutionary?
Yes.
Are you ready to never be disappointed ever again in your prayer life? Man, that was weak. Are you ready to never be disappointed again in your prayer life?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure that you want to hear this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. How many of you close your prayers with this statement? In Jesus' name.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Are you guys afraid I'm setting you up? Yes, sir. Yeah. This is, you Christians are something else, man. I am not going to be fooled. I ain't going to. I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to accept what he's saying because I ain't going to be wrong. Now, you guys got to relax now if you're going to accept this truth. Can I have an amen? You got to relax. Enjoy being beat up. In Jesus' name. What does that mean besides closing your prayer? Have you ever thought about this verse and you saying at the end of your prayer, in Jesus' name? Now, those of you who have been in the doctrine class, in the members class, old new members class, you've heard some of this. Question is, are you learning to live it? In Jesus' name. Do you understand what that entails? And do you understand that if there's sin involved and you haven't got forgiveness before you start praying and you're not right with God, you can't pray in Jesus' name. If you're not being obedient to his commandments, you can't pray in Jesus' name. Now that's the first thing. But what does it mean then to pray in Jesus' name? And not only what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name, but how must you pray in Jesus' name? What must you say in praying in Jesus' name? And who is the center of praying in Jesus' name? And while you're praying, who are you praying to in Jesus' name? See, a lot of people want to pray to Jesus. You shouldn't pray to Jesus. Please, you should not pray to Jesus. You should pray in Jesus' name to the Father, and you can't pray to the Father in Jesus' name if you're not controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit. And see, if the Trinity is not involved in your prayer is a waste. Are we flowing now? Are we getting where we need to be? But you're still having problems, aren't you? With praying in Jesus' name. What does it mean, praying in Jesus' name? Anybody want to throw some thoughts out? What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Now, listen, really. Don't be skeptical and scared about your ideas. Because if you don't know what it means to pray in Jesus' name, what have you been doing? Who have you been praying to? Who have you been praying through? If you don't know what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Well, they said we should always give examples. Can they have an amen?
Amen.
All of you know I have four children. Four children. Two girls. Two boys. All different. Amen?
Amen.
All different. You remember when some of you still have smaller kids and you made the mistake of going to the pre-allot fair? More than once. And they have these tickets. Not speeding tickets. They have these tickets you can buy to keep from having to pay for each ride. Get these big old, and if you got four kids, you got enough tickets to make a suit. And as parents, do you give the tickets to the kids?
No, sir.
See, our parents are control freaks.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat, some way, we are control freaks. Oh, no, you control the tickets. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And you go to the ride. And as they pass by, you hand them a ticket. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You ever been there? Oh, you're talking about, oh, see, now they're up to 5 tickets apiece, right? 4 tickets, 3 tickets. I'm talking about in the good old days. You know, you give them the amount of tickets, okay? You give them the amount of tickets it takes to get on that ride. So we're down at the Puyallup Fair, and fate comes by. Put that ticket on. Bam. She walks on by like her attitude is, good thing you gave me that ticket. Could be a rough day if you don't give me that ticket. That's faith. Next, Avery. You gonna give me a ticket? Ooh, Daddy, thank you. I can't believe you gave me a ticket. Can I ride now? That's Avery. Sherman. I'm your favorite, so I know that's why you gave me a ticket. Curtis. Why do you get the other 3 tickets? That could have been 4 for me. That's the attitude of the kids, right? So they all walk by, and I'm looking at the kids getting in line to get on the ride, and I notice there's this something. You know how you see out of the peripheral of your eye, your vision, you know, you look around, and there's this, I look down, there's this little white kid standing there like this. I mean, not unashamed, not even scared. Back in the day, I was huge. I'm going, who are you? I know you're not mine. Giving you no ticket. Wouldn't move. All of a sudden, here comes Sherman back down the line, who is, Sherman never met an enemy. They're all friends. And he walks up and he says, Dad? I go, yeah? He said, that's my friend. I met him in line. And I told him, if you don't have any tickets, my dad has a ticket. And if I ask my dad, he'll give you a ticket. Now, here's my son standing in front of me with someone that's not even worthy of my tickets. If my son asks, do you think I'm going to give that kid a ticket? Yes, no. I'm not God. Of course I'm going to give him a ticket. I mean, my son has spoken for him. That man, that little boy, I should say, came to me in my son's name. And because he's coming through my son to get to me, it gives me glory as a father to give that ticket to someone who don't deserve it because of my son. Now, when you close in your prayer and you say in Jesus' name, is that what you're saying? Father, I have no right to come to you except through your son who has died for me, who gives me the right to come and ask you anything and everything because he is worthy. not my faith, not my works, not my ideas, not my thoughts, but because in your Son's name, Father, by being controlled by your Spirit, Father, I ask this. See, then you're on good. You're getting on good level. Then you're getting on a good plane. But that's something else that got to go along with it. So you can't just haphazardly say in Jesus' name, can you? You got to know what you're saying. You got to know what you're asking. You got to know what right you have to be in front of the Father at this time. But ho. Are you ready for this one? Someone say, yeah, come on. Oh, check this out. Verse 13, and whatever ye shall ask in my name, we got a little understanding about what that means a little better. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask someone if God is going to ask that question, if God is going to answer that prayer, then what must take place? We got a question? Are these verses in John like the verses in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart? Yes, except for one thing. If you delight in the Lord, your heart isn't selfish. It isn't about what you want. Should I leave that one alone from there? Okay. Because we'll explain it a little bit better here in a minute. Do you know why that little boy was able to get that ticket from me at the Puyallup Fair? Because my son asked. Wasn't that the boy asked me? Because if the little boy would have asked me, I may have had sympathy. Amen. I may have had sympathy, but I probably would have said, where is your parents? But it was because my son thought it worthy of that little boy to ask his dad. So I'm hearing this. If you want Jesus to answer your prayer in anything you ask, when you pray, Jesus must be willing to ask God that prayer for you. So how many prayers do you think we pray that Jesus refused to take to the Father? Just saying. Just thinking, just thoughts. How do we know that he didn't take it, right? Did you get your prayer answered? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that just came out so quick. If Jesus took it the way you prayed it, it's going to be answered the way you prayed it. And if it's not answered the way you prayed it, you can know 100% you didn't pray in Jesus' name. You want to spend a little more time on this? Or?
Yes, sir.
You're saying, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go down this road right now, because you and I got to come to the conclusion now that we got to watch out for our prayers, right? And another thing here, so that the Son can glorify the Father. Ooh, so if we're going to pray the prayer that Jesus is going to answer, it must be a prayer that the Father's going to get glorified by Jesus in doing it and answering it. If we look at our prayers, how many of our prayers, if God answered, would allow Jesus to bring glory to his Father's name? Man, you mean to tell me we really got to concentrate and think about prayer? We just can't throw some things out there without putting our brains in gear, our hearts in submission, and our knowledge and leading by the Holy Spirit to even open my mouth to pray it? Wow. I thought this was going to be an easy day, didn't you? Oh. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a lot of A, B, and C, and D's under that. I will do it. There's a lot of things you and I got to get our hearts right, our minds right, our life right. Why? What's the next verse? Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, look, I'm not saying that you got to work for your prayers to be answered. That's not what we're saying. But you got to work at being righteous by being controlled by the Holy Spirit and being obedient to the commandments that God has given you and I to show you love him in order for him to want to go to the Father, in order for him to glorify the Father for going for you. Are we hearing this? Is it making sense to us why our prayer life at times is more of a burden than a blessing? Why is it so hard to pray? Anybody ever thought about that? It's two things that's extremely hard. Study the word of God and to pray. Satan hates for you to pray. Because, see, Satan believes in verse 12. Greater works than these shall you do by your prayer life. Satan hates that. You ever had trouble going to sleep at night? Just start praying. You are out. Can I have an amen? I mean, you start you wake up and go, oh, Lord, forgive me, I fell asleep. Then again, you know, it's very comfortable to be able to fall asleep in front of someone you trust. But to fall asleep in front of someone you disrespect. Prayers. Hard because it takes all these things to pray correctly. You gotta love Jesus. You gotta be right with God. You gotta be obedient. But how do we do that, Pastor? How is that something that is easy to do? I'm glad you asked. Verse 16, and I will pray that the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Here's something else about this prayer stuff that many of us don't like to hear about. Now, if he's going to give us another comforter, that means you already had one. Huh?
Yes, sir.
How can he give you another if you hadn't had one? Because that don't make sense, does it? You got to have one to get another. So if he's going to give us another comforter, what does that mean? What is the example that he's given you and I about the other comforter? See. We know that the other comforter is the one who comes with strength. Comfort, come with strength. That's what comfort means. So the comforter is he who comes with strength for you. Okay? So if he's going to give us strength through the other comforter, it means that it is the Holy Spirit that is coming that he gives. And he is saying, hold on, are you ready? What type of relationship did the disciples have with Jesus? What type of relationship did the disciples have with Jesus? Personal, sharing, trusting, submitting, and loving. Question for you. That's the example of the first comforter that you and I should have with the other comforter. How many of us have that type of relationship with the Holy Spirit? You see, Jesus says, I gotta go. I'm leaving. Now, when Jesus was with the disciples, they have nothing to worry about. They just hung with Jesus. He took care of everything. He led them where he wanted to go. He taught. He was their comfort. He was their strength. He was their wisdom. He was their protection. All of a sudden, he's saying, bye, I have to go. What do you think is running through the disciples' mind? Oh, man, I want to go too. Amen? You can't leave us down here now. Come on, you can't leave us like this. He said, I won't. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so you can have the same and a better relationship than you had with me, because I can only be in one place at one time, and I was going back and forth, and I may talk with one disciple and then talk with another disciple, but the Holy Spirit is going to have a personal one-on-one relationship and discipleship with you. Is that true in our lives? You know what? I just want to throw it out. Do you think that you can go all day without thinking about the Holy Spirit? Do you think you can go a couple of days and not even think about that relationship of closeness you're supposed to have with the Holy Spirit? How about a week? How about a week? How about a month? And the Holy Spirit is just kind of out there somewhere. Can you imagine the disciples going a day when they had a relationship with Jesus Christ on the earth and not thinking about him or not wanting to increase that relationship with him while he was here? Or go 2 days and not even turn and look at Jesus? Or go a week without having fellowship and closeness and settling down and sitting under Jesus? Or a month? And then we come to him in prayer and ask for something. Are we thinking? Are we concentrating? Are we willing to change? You want this type of answer of prayer? Whatever you ask, he will do. Now check this one out. This is what's smoking. In order for me to bring glory to my Father, that is where he will answer. He will not answer just so to prove that he can do it. He's going to answer so he can bring glory to his Father. This is Jesus. So the prayers I'm praying, can I expect Jesus to think it's good enough to take it to the Father to answer? And two, do you think in a small way that when Jesus answers our prayer to bring glory to the Father, It may not be that comfortable to us. Just saying. So if I know that my prayer is, Father, heal me of this cancer. Can't hear you. Father, heal me of this cancer. And he says no for 13 years. Can I rejoice in the fact it's because this cancer brings glory through the Son to the Father? I can rest in that. And I don't have to worry about, I don't have enough faith. Man, I'm not walking with God, right? I'm in the midst of the Son bringing glory to the Father, because that's what it's about. Not my will, but thy will be done. Can you rejoice in that, knowing that Jesus is bringing glory to the Father's name while you are getting beat up? I can't hear you. Well, you're getting sicker. Well, your enemies are getting stronger. It's hard to put out that light, though, right? The enemy can do everything they want, but they cannot put out your light. I don't know, guys, what God wants to do all the time. But I do know all the time Jesus is going to do what he does to bring glory to the Father. All the time. And I can pray. And I can pray. And I can pray. And I can pray. But it better line up with what Jesus says it takes for him to take your prayer to the Father, because Jesus feels is worthy to take it in that particular way. And he will do it. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.